Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. I can feel He made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise the Lord. This is Macedonian Call Around the Globe, coming to you again on Friday night. This is October the 25th, 2013, and we're going to praise the Lord. This is the day that He has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. Praise God. And we want to turn in some prayer requests starting out. We have Amanda Benson. She says, pray for her family is in need of prayer. God knows all. Jerry Bowens, he says, pray for my mom. She has been having the worst headaches for weeks on end and can't sleep. She needs prayer. Mike Bragg says, you know mine, which is his nephew, Will, is in need of prayer. He's 2 years old, and he has a tumor on his brain, and last report that I know of is that the doctor said that it was shrinking, so we praise God for that, and blood work has been turning out good. So remember all those requests, and as we go with the broadcast through the night till 12 midnight tonight, we will pray over these toward the end. We have a very urgent prayer request, and that's Sister Florence Sinners. And she, we have been praying for her for weeks now. Actually, since the broadcast, I believe we started back in February of this year. And she has been diagnosed with cancer. And the Lord has spared her for 2 years. He has given her miraculous healings. And when the doctors said no way, and the Lord just has kept her, and we thank Him for that. And, you know, right now tonight, if she does not get her healing, she could leave any time. She can go into eternity at any moment. So we're praying for Sister Florence Sinners and the family. We're praying for them as well and lift them up. So we want to thank you for listening in tonight. We love doing this for the Lord. God is so good. A lot of good praise reports. Tonight's subject is on faith. And if you want to call in and be a part of this broadcast, it is 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. And the subject is on faith. If you have a testimony that you would like to give, we encourage you to call in and share that testimony with us. And if you want to get a hold of us by email, it is heisrisen38@aol.com. Again, it's heisrisen38@aol.com. And at this time, we're going to have Rachel, our daughter. She turned 10 last Friday. Sister Florence Sinners, she had her birthday the same time Rachel did. And that's the one we're wanting to pray for her tonight, Sister Florence. And she turned 87 years old last Friday. So thank the good Lord for long years with Sister Florence Sinners. And here's our daughter, Rachel Green.
And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be.
Praise God. Amen. So, again, we want you to call in, and we encourage you to. We want you to be a part of this. This goes out all over the world. And we have Brother Lord Yearwood. He also has a radio broadcast that he does on Tuesday nights. And his last report that he received by email, that his broadcast was reaching over 1 million people. And if you want to be part of that, if you want rewards up in heaven, you want to lay your treasures up there, and you want to help us share this gospel, and that you don't even have to get dressed up and go out of your house. You just get on your telephone and you dial 347-989-8862. Somebody needs to hear your testimony. Somebody out there needs to hear that. So you need to call in and share that. Again, it's 347-989-8862. The line only works while we're on live, and that's every Friday from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. And at this time, we're going to have Brother Green come in, and he's going to share with you what he has at this moment. And then we'll have a song or two, and hopefully some callers will call in and you get this here going. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. It's good to be with you tonight. It's good to be on the Lord's side. And I tell you, you can get on the Lord's side. All you have to do is repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins according to the scriptures, and you can have eternal life. If you'll lay aside every sin and you'll call upon him sincerely, he will send forth his spirit into your heart, and you'll be a child of God. Message tonight is on faith, and I think I want to look at some things tonight to try to increase our faith. And, you know, we all need faith. And the disciples prayed that the Lord would increase their faith. And, you know, they saw what he could do. They saw him as he laid hands on people and sicknesses departed out of them. And they were healed of their afflictions, and the blinded eyes were opened, and they could see again. And he did many wonderful works, things that doctors couldn't do. He did things that the priests couldn't do, the prophets of old could not do. He did miracle after miracle, and was never in a loss for words. When it came to him, they said, no man spake like this man. They had never heard nobody that could talk and preach and teach like Jesus could teach. But the scripture tells us that he was the Word of God. And I want to read a few things to you tonight. We're talking about faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Romans chapter 10, I suppose we should look there first of all tonight. Romans chapter 10, the Bible tells us in 10, verse 17, that faith, let me read it to you here. It says, So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In verse 18 it says, "But I say, have they not heard?" That was a question. "Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world." Praise God. But the thing about it is, you can hear this gospel, and you can still turn a deaf ear. The Bible tells us, "Him that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." In Revelation chapter, I believe it's chapter 2 and chapter 3, over and over and over, the Lord was talking to John on the Isle of Patmos, and he said, told him to write these letters and send them to the churches. And the seven churches of Asia there were mentioned there in the book of Revelation. And he had somewhat against five of those churches. And he continued to say down there time after time to those churches, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith." So we need an ear tonight to hear what the Spirit is saying. And the more that we get into the Word of God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Then we can get to where we understand what God's will is. And if we get down to business and we begin to pray, we begin to fast, then God will unlock the mysteries that are found in the Holy Bible. Praise God. So we say tonight that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And we want to make sure we've got our record right. And if we don't have faith in God, if we don't have faith in Jesus Christ, we cannot be saved. We can believe that Abraham Lincoln was a president, and we can believe that Jesus was the Son of God, but that will not save you unless you really, truly believe it with all your heart. I was thinking about the man in the chariot. I think it's in the book of Acts, maybe about chapter 8. And Philip went down and joined himself to this man, and he was reading in the book of Isaiah the prophet. And he was in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And the eunuch there said to him, he said, "Who is he speaking about? Is he speaking of himself or some other man?" And this was the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 53. And it's talking about how Jesus came and how he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and how he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb. And he opened not his mouth, and but he was wounded for our transgressions. Praise God. And it tells about him there. I'll probably turn over there later in the program, but I want to get on with what I'm saying here. You see, as we begin to read the Word of God, we begin to get the picture that Jesus is the Word of God. He came in the volume of the book. The Bible says that he came in the volume of the book. I think that's in the book of Hebrews, about chapter 10 maybe. Praise God. And he said, "Lo, is written of me." And he came to die on that cross for our sins. And we're saying tonight that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I'm kindly just talking a little bit of off my head tonight, what's coming to me, but and out of my heart. But in Romans chapter 10, I want to read a few scriptures here, and it says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven?" That's a question. That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That's another question. And that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? A question again. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So the Apostle Paul was writing here. And he said up there in verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And there's where I began reading in verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So you see, we're talking about faith in God and faith in Christ and faith to receive things from God. And all this comes through hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so we need ears to hear what the Spirit saith. And, you know, you got a radio and you know, you have to tune that thing in, you know. The old-timey radios, you had to fine-tune them. You had to turn the knobs just right and get the frequency, and you could hear the sound. And you didn't want anything to interfere, or you couldn't get the sound to come in. And maybe the sound would be fuzzy. You could make out some of the things that was being said, but not all of them. So what we need to do is tune in our ears and turn our ears on to the things of God and get into the Word of God and get our eyes on the Word, praise God, and have our eyes anointed with eye salve that we could see into the things of God. But here we're talking about Paul the Apostle, and he's saying, I want you to notice in verse 8, but what saith it? Question. And he gives them an answer. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So Paul preached the word of faith, and all the apostles preached the same thing that Jesus preached. And the Bible tells us, they were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine there in the book of Acts, and they were breaking bread from house to house, and you know they began to multiply. They began, souls began to be saved because they heard the preaching of the Word of God, and they heard Peter and James and John, and they heard them preaching the gospel, and different ones that went out, and we hear about the deacons of the church and how that Stephen was a mighty man of God, and he preached and did miracles among the people. And those miracles came because of faith, and it was because he had faith, and it was also because those that were hearing the word were having faith to believe. And the Bible says in Mark 11:23-24, right in there in Mark 11:23, the Bible says that, I've got that wrong, I got the wrong scripture there, but anyhow, he said to Mark 11:22, have faith in God. He said have faith in God. And you know, Jesus came down here with the Word of God, and that's exactly what we're preaching tonight. We're preaching the Word of God. When we read a scripture, that scripture is the Word of God. And when we try to expound upon the scriptures, we're preaching to you with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the help of the Holy Ghost tonight. And we're trying to bring out that you know, that Christ died for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. I read that to a man one time. We was baling hay, and I had a little testament in my pocket. And he was a sinner man, and I hadn't been saved very long. And I found that scripture where it said that Christ died for the sins of the whole world. And I told him that. We was riding on that wagon behind that tractor. And he said, let me see that. My Bible, and looked at it and was reading it. You know, as far as I know, that man's still not saved today. But you know what? He was surprised that Christ died for the sins of the whole world. A lot of people think that Christ only died for the sins of those that would accept him. But no, he has died for the sins of the whole world. And the payment has been paid. And your record can be wiped clean tonight because there has been an atonement made for your sins. And he has, the Bible said, became sin for us who knew no sin. He took our sins in his own body on the tree. Praise God. And I'm talking about faith tonight. And you know, we must have faith that Christ is the Son of God. And we must have faith that he is the Messiah. He's the one that came to save and to set man free from the bondage of sin and break the sin chains off of men's lives. You don't have to be a slave tonight to sin. You don't have to be a slave to alcohol or any kind of a drug or anything that this world has to offer. You can be free, free indeed. For the Bible said, whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. But Christ has paid for that freedom on the cross and died on that tree, hung there between heaven and earth, to bring, as a mediator between God and man, to bring a man back to God because they had fallen from grace and had went away from God, and the devil was running tyrant over mankind because of the sins or the sin that was committed in the Garden of Eden, and they had broke the law of God. And the Bible said that sin is transgression also of the law. And I want to get on a little further here, but the Apostle Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I want you to know tonight that you cannot be saved unless you hear, praise God. The Bible says here in Romans 10 and 13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? That was a question. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You see, tonight, preaching of the gospel will bring faith in your heart. And maybe it'll get your attention tonight that you need to get you an old-fashioned Bible, and you need to read and study and see, is this man telling me the truth? You know, that man that was riding in that chariot that day there in the book of Acts in the 8th chapter, he was not a saved man, but he was reading the Bible. I'll tell you, it'll pay for you to read the Bible, and then it'll pay for you. You'll have a payday someday. If you'll get down on your knees, you'll get a good payday, and the Lord will bless you if you call on that name of Jesus and you repent of your sins. And Paul's prayer, heart's desire for Israel was that they might be saved. You see, he knew they weren't saved, and he had been an Israelite. He was an Israelite before he came to Christ, and he kept the law. But, you know, the Bible says here, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You see, believing is having faith. When you believe, you have to put actions with that believing. It's an action word. And so then the Bible says here that faith, 10:17 of Romans, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But we can turn off the Word of God if we want to. We can say, I choose not to believe it. I just choose to do my own thing and go my own way. And that's what Israel did. They chose to do their own thing and go their own way. And they had not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of Christ. But they tried to hold on to the law of Moses, and Christ had come and died on that cross. And since he died on that cross, the law of Moses will do you no good tonight. It'll do you no good to go find you a sacrifice somewhere and slaughter that animal and shed that blood for the remission of sins, because the blood of bulls and of goats and could never take away sin. Paul said there in the book of Hebrews, praise God. And the Bible said, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. But see, we have to believe. I believe that Christ died on the cross. I believe he died for my sins, and not only for mine, but for the sins of the whole world. And I believe he said, whosoever will can come and take of the water of life freely. And here in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now this means that you must call, but you must call according to what the Bible tells you. You must repent. You must call. You must call in faith believing. You must believe with all your heart. That man that was in that chariot that day in Acts chapter 8, riding along and reading the book of Isaiah the prophet, he said, who's he talking about? And Brother Philip said, I'll tell you who he's talking about. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about that one that died on Mount Calvary, that they whipped him up the hill. They tied him to the whipping post, and they laid stripes on his back, and they plucked his beard, and they spit upon him. They platted a crown of thorns and put it upon his head and said, that's the one they're talking about. That's the one Isaiah was writing about. He was writing about the Lamb of God that John pointed to one day and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Glory to God. I thank the Lord tonight that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And this is the only book, I tell you, that you can read, and you can open it. And every time you open this book, the author is present with you. When you read your Bible, you open that book, the author is right there with you. Praise God. And he will try to help you if he can get to you. He'll try to help you, but we need an ear to hear what the Spirit saith to the church tonight. We need to tune in. We need to get our heart in tune with God. Praise the Lord. And he come to some water there that day. The Bible said there they was in a desert, in a desert place. And he said, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? So we know that Philip told him, said, you need to be baptized. You need to be saved. You need to accept Christ as your Savior. He said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? He said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Praise God. And I want to turn over there because I want to get it right. And I'm pretty sure it's in the 8th chapter of the book there of Acts. Thank you, Jesus. And the angel of the Lord, verse 26, spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his nation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered. Now notice what he answered. And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. So you see here, it don't say that this man prayed 2 or 3 days to get saved. It don't say that he done some great feat of some kind to get saved. All he did was he believed with all of his heart. He said, I believe, let me find the scripture here in verse 37. And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. In other words, thou mayest be baptized. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. Well, and they went down and he baptized that eunuch. So the job was done and God didn't need him in that place anymore. And the Bible said that the Spirit called away Philip there. And he was found in another place and the eunuch saw him no more, it says here. But Philip, in verse 40, but Philip was found at Azotus, I guess that's the way you pronounce it. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. But I want you to know, people, they'll tell you, you got to pray for weeks, and you got to, you know, do this and do that to be saved. But the Bible tells us that you must believe with all your heart. And that, you know, this man was reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And no doubt he was a worshiper of God. And he was an Old Testament worshiper. And it does not say that, it says he was Ethiopian. It does not say that he was a Jewish person. But it's possible that he might have been. But when he saw this in the scripture, in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, he was reading it. And, you know, he realized, and he was already questioning it. He said, is he speaking of himself or some other man? And it was prophesied probably 700 years. Isaiah had prophesied that there was coming one that was going to take a whipping for our sins and was going to be bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. Praise God. And he paid that awful price. And like I said earlier, they platted that crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they plucked his beard, and they spat upon him, and they slapped him in the face. They blindfolded him. They said, prophesy. And, you know, they really put him through a terrible ordeal. But he did that like a lamb led to the slaughter, and he opened not his mouth. He could have opened his mouth. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have called 12 legions of angels, and they would have destroyed them men. But he didn't do that because he came here to die for our sins as the sacrifice, the last sacrifice. He was the last sacrifice, and he would be the only sacrifice that could ever take away sin, and there will never be a need for another, but he is the one and only Lamb of God. Let's go on a little farther here, talking about faith, and faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And I was thinking, Abraham was a man of faith, and Abraham believed God. You know, he believed what God told him, and he walked by faith, and he continued to walk by faith. And God told Abraham, you're going to have a son, and gave him a promise, and called him out of the land of the Chaldeans, and separated him from his father's house. He came out from his kinfolk, and he separated him. God said he'd make of him a great nation, and all the nations of the earth would be blessed through his seed. So Abraham was looking for a son, but you know that son didn't come for many years, but Abraham continued to believe God. And the Bible said that it was accounted to him for righteousness because he believed God. And I want to turn over to Romans chapter, I believe it's 4, praise God, and say a few things there about it. But, you know, we was talking about the Apostle Paul over there in Romans chapter 10, and you get a chance to read that. We might get back on that. I don't know. I don't know who I was called in tonight. We don't have any callers that's called in. So I'll say some more things here and turn it back over to Joanna. But I think I'll go back to, before I go into Abraham, I think I'll go back to chapter 10 of Romans. We was talking about Paul the Apostle, his heart's desire for Israel. In verse 1 of chapter 10, it was that they might be saved. He said they had a zeal of God there in verse 2, but not according to knowledge. And in verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So you see that man that was in that chariot, well, he was under the law, but when he heard Philip explaining to him about Jesus dying on the cross and how he was the Lamb of God, he repented. So he no longer was worshiping God in a wrong way, but he was worshiping him in the right way. He had accepted Christ, and you go into the Old Testament, I think it's in the book of Jeremiah, and maybe some more of the books there. He said, a new covenant will I make with the house of Israel. And he said in this covenant he would take out the stony heart, he'd give them a heart of flesh, and he would write his laws upon their hearts and upon their minds. And he would not lead them like he did when he brought them out of Egypt, when he took them by the hand and he led them out. But he'd give them a new heart, and there would be a new covenant. And he did that when Christ died on that cross. Jesus said, this is the New Testament in my blood. When he sat around that last table there that night in that large upper room, and at that table, there was bread and there was wine, or the juice, the fruit of the vine, and they drank that fruit of the vine that day, or that night, praise God, and he passed that cup around, and he said, drink ye all of it. He said, this is the New Testament in my blood. He was getting ready to go out, and he was getting ready to be put to that cross, and They was going to crucify that Lamb of God, and he wanted them disciples to know that this was the new covenant that was coming. And he took that bread and broke it. He gave it to them, And he said, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. And he said, as often as you do this, he said, you do show my death, he said, till I come. And he, you know, made him a promise. He said, I'm a going away, but I'll come again. And they had faith to believe that. And, you know, they staggered some. The Bible tells us not to stagger through unbelief. But, you know, they had some unbelief. And there was a man come to Jesus one day, and he said, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And Jesus prayed for his boy, and he fell out, and, you know, he was healed. He fell to the ground, and those devils came out of that man, that young boy. I don't know how old he was. And we know he was probably grown up, because Jesus said, how long ago has this, when did this come unto him? And he said, as a child. So he must have been pretty close to a grown man at the time Jesus cast them devils out. And I'm just guessing, because I don't know. But that's what I'm a-thinking. Praise God. And we're going here in Romans chapter 10, and Paul's making a difference between the law and faith. He's telling them, and he's worried about his friends, about his relation to Jewish people. No doubt when he came to Christ, they probably turned their back on him. And there's many out there tonight in foreign countries, if you come to Jesus and you start mentioning the name of Jesus and how that you believe in him, they'll put the pressure on you. They're even putting the pressure on us here in America, and this is supposed to be a free country. But they're putting the pressure on us in many places. They don't want you to pray in the schoolhouse, and they don't want you to mention the name of Christ. And, you know, you can pray in some other name if you want to pray. They won't say nothing to you, but you mention the name of Jesus, and you're going to have some places you'll have trouble, but we should not be afraid. I thought about Peter and John went up to the temple to pray one day, and a lame man was laying there, and he was wanting alms from them. And I believe it was Peter looked upon him and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he got something that money can't buy. And, you know, faith will do that. If you can get enough faith, you can see miracles, and you can see things come to pass in your life and in the life of your loved ones. The Bible said in Mark chapter, I believe it's chapter 16, that these signs shall follow them that believe. And one of those signs is that they lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And one of the signs is they shall cast out devils in my name. You see, there's power in that name, faith. Faith in the name of Jesus will do wonders. Faith in that name, because you know what that name means, because you know that he is the Savior of the world. He's the one that the Father sent to be the Savior. Faith in that name will move mountains, the Bible says. You know, when he called his 12 disciples and he sent them forth two by two, and they went forth and preached, and they cast out devils and healed the sick and raised the dead, and they came back. And they were rejoicing because that the spirits were subject to them through his name. I think it's Luke chapter 10, you can find that. And it's amazing what the name of Jesus can do. Praise God. I'll tell you, you can lay your hand. Sometimes you can lay a hand on somebody that's sick, and the sick will be healed. And we don't know why that it don't happen every time. But see, this has got something to do with the will of God. This has got something to do with God's will. And we don't know who God's going to heal, but we're supposed to obey God. And when we go forth and lay hands on the sick, We believe that the sick will recover because that's the part that we're supposed to do. The part we're supposed to do as a believer is to believe. I thought there in the book of Acts, and I forget what chapter it's in, but Peter was preaching. And the Bible said the believers were added the more, or added so much the more that they brought the sick into the streets. And the shadow of Peter passing over them, they were healed. If they could just get close to Peter and his shadow would come over them, they would be healed. So we know that he was probably laying hands on the sick, and he was probably casting out devils and doing whatever it was that the Lord wanted him to do. I know that he didn't leave out preaching the gospel because he was instructed by the Lord Jesus to go everywhere and preach the word there in the 16th chapter of Mark. You see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm going to turn it over to Sister Joanna right now for a minute.
Praise God. I see we have another caller here. I'll get them to come in and tell us who they are here in just a moment. I want to give a praise report that comes through here on Facebook. My cousin, Mike Bragg, he's the one that's been turning in prayer requests for his nephew, Will, that's 2 years old. And he has been, he's two, and he has a brain tumor, they said. And the last report I heard, my cousin Mike said that the doctor said that the tumor has been shrinking and his blood count has been coming back good. So another praise report from Mike, and that is he works with, I believe he's a masonry. I saw some pictures of what kind of type of work that he does. And he lays big, large block buildings. So he's a bricklayer. So he says, well, the walker, he's calling it the walker, broke on me today, fell about 8 feet. And so he fell about 8 feet, and the brick followed me down and hit me on top of the head. Have never seen that happen, he says. Could have been hurt bad. Just a little sore with a headache, he says. But God is looking out for me, he says. And then I had made a comment to him praising the Lord for keeping him. And then he replies again and says, yes, we was about 30 feet up in the air yesterday on the same walker. He said, glad it didn't happen then, because today he would be dead or in the hospital. So I want to give God the praise, the glory. He wanted me to share that with you. I asked him if I could share it on Blog Talk Radio. He said, go right ahead. So I just give God all the glory and all the praise for that. That's a miracle that has happened to my cousin. So I really thank the Lord for that. And right now we're going to get 423-545. Come and tell us who you are and where you're located.
I'm Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood down here in Madisonville, Tennessee, Sister Green.
Praise the Lord, Brother Yearwood. Glad to have you. We're going to, if you don't mind, we're going to have a song real quick, and then we've got another hour and 20 minutes to obey the Lord, so we're going to give you plenty of time, Brother Yearwood. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's okay.
Praise God. So we'll get back to you here in just a moment.
Stop. right on time. Standing at the Red Sea, no place to go. Pharaoh's army was closing in.
The Lord. And how many know all you got to do is believe? If you're a Christian tonight, all you need to do is believe. Praise God. And Johnny Grigsby says, pray for Junior. That's his son. He's sick. His wife needs a new job. And Johnny says that he wants to be saved again. Johnny, if you're listening to me, I want you to call in right now. I want you to call in if you really mean it with your true heart. That you want to be saved again, I want you to call 347-989-8862. Son, I believe God's dealing with you, and we know you personally, and we want you to call in. And we'll sure hear there's ministers here that will pray for you and pray with you. And it takes up a made-up mind to serve God. And just like that song said, He'll make a way. And I know that you got faith to believe that God saves us from our sin when He died on the cross. I remember the time that you played the part in the Christmas get together there that we had at the church, and you played the part of Jesus. And why don't you call me tonight? Call me here on this here radio broadcast. Give your heart to Him, Johnny. Call in at 347-989-8862. And we'll pray for Junior as well, your son there. And God, I praise God. I praise Him. I praise Him. I praise Him. So call in, Johnny. Just call us. And you know, Brother and Sister Green, we love you. And most of all, Jesus loves you. And we want you to call in. Praise God. And Sister Bonnie Burke says, remember her, and God knows all about it. Pray for her family as well. And Brother Yearwood, go ahead and obey God, and we're going to wait on Johnny Grigsby to give us a call, and we want to pray him through if he'll call in. We want to encourage him to call. So go ahead, Brother Yearwood.
Man, glory to God. I tell you what, it's a a time that people need to make it right with the Lord. This is an hour that we're facing, and you know, death is for sure, and how it finds us, that's how we're going to stand before it. So we're speaking tonight on faith, and so we're in Matthew 8 chapter, and starting in verse 1 and going through 10 there. It says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitude followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You know, praise God, this man, he hadn't enough faith to know. I believe he'd heard about Jesus when Jesus come down from there, and he told him, he said, look, he called upon him, and he said, you can make me clean. And you know, praise God, Jesus here in the third verse, it said, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And you know, praise God, that's what this man, he had enough faith, knowing if he were to call upon Jesus, Jesus would clean him, and you know, cleanse him, he would heal him, he would wipe the leper away. And you know, praise God, Jesus is still doing the same thing today. I was thinking, praise God, you know, all we got to do is just call upon the Lord and with a heart believing, and just believe it whenever we ask him. He tells us in one passage of scripture over there, he said, whenever you pray and you, whatever you desire in your heart when you're praying, if you don't doubt, you shall receive. And you know, praise God, I'm glad tonight to know that this man here, he had the leper. He knowed if he was to ask Jesus to cleanse him, that Jesus could do it. And you know, tonight we've got to know, we've got to believe that whatever we ask him for, he can do it, and he will do it if we will believe it. You know, let's look into verse 4 there. And it said, and Jesus said unto them, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. You know, praise God, Jesus, he didn't want to make no a big name for himself. And you know, he said, tell no man, praise God, that he had done anything. But for him to go and show, give the gift that Moses had commanded. And you know, that was letting them know, praise God, that the priest had to give him the okay that he was cleansed. But you know, praise God, people, today they don't want to do nothing, but they want to make themselves a name. But you know, praise God, if Jesus didn't want to make no name for himself, but he wanted to let people know that Moses had commanded something, and for them to go and give that gift, to show that to be a testimony. And you know, that's what we need today. We don't need to make ourselves no name. We don't need to try to take anything from God, but we need to give him all the glory and all the faith to the Lord. You know, if we've got the faith believing that whatsoever we ask, that he will do it for us. You know, look there in the, praise God, in the sixth verse, or in the fifth verse, I'm sorry. And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lie at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And you know, praise God, oh hallelujah, he knew if he come to Jesus, Jesus could do something for him. I look right here in the 7th verse now. We know the man was grievously, we know he was tormented, but praise God, in the 7th verse, and Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. You know, praise God. The man, he knowed that he wasn't worthy for Jesus to come under his roof, but praise God, he knowed if Jesus would just only speak the word. My friend tonight, I tell you, a lot of times when I'm praying, I'm praying for someone, I say, Lord, you only speak the word. If you'll speak the word, I know that it'll be done. I can do nothing but just pray for you. But Jesus, he can speak the word. He can reach out. He can touch you tonight. He can heal your body tonight. He can forgive you of your sins tonight. If you are willing to call upon him, he's willing. You know, this concerned soldier here, he said, Lord, I'm not even worthy for you to come under my roof. I tell you what, but if you'll only speak the word, I know that my servant will be healed. My friend, I'm going to tell you tonight, we need to realize that a lot of times that we need just speak the word. Just send the word. Hallelujah. Send the faith to them. Praise God if we will pray. James over there in 5, it says this. It said, praise God, if there's any sick among you, call for the elders of the church and anoint them with oil. Prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if they committed any sin, it shall be forgiven. And if you notice, it said the prayer of faith. Hallelujah, that's what we need to do. Tonight we need to realize that we've got the prayer, we've got the word, we've got the anointing oil, that we can anoint people, that we can pray for people, and we can see people healed. Over there in John, little John over there, I believe it's about 2 or something over there in there. It says this. It said, I would rather that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. My friend tonight, if we've got the faith to believe whatever that we believe him for, God is able. He's willing to give it to us. We just need to realize that it takes faith to move God. It's impossible to please God without faith. But if we've got the faith and we call upon God, he will hear. He will answer. My friend, he may not answer the way that we want him to answer, but God will answer. And I tell you what, I believe tonight, if we will call upon him, God is willing. He's able to touch us. I know he may be sitting up in heaven. He may be on the right-hand side of the Father. But he says in Isaiah over there, he said his arms is not too short to reach down to touch us. His ears are not too heavy to hear. My friend, he's able. He's willing to reach down. He's willing to touch you tonight. It don't matter where you're at, what you're in, what kind of situation that you're facing, but God is able to deliver you tonight out of your troubles, out of all of your sorrows. Hallelujah. Let's look into verse 8. They considering answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. He does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I tell you what, praise God, he didn't find, not even find no great faith that this man had, but this soldier, he had some great faith. He told the Lord, he said, I'm under authority. I tell the men what to do, where to go, and they do it. My friend tonight, I'm telling you about the Lord, how he hears you tonight when you call upon him. He will answer. He's got, he ain't found no such great of faith. No, not in Israel. But he can find that faith in us tonight if we'll have that faith, if we'll believe what we asked him for. Praise God. Let's look into Matthew 8:23-27. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. You know, praise God, a lot of times today we perish whenever the waves of the sins of this world start trying to overtake us and start trying to cover us up. We need just reach up and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. My friend, of a little faith, Peter, the Lord told Peter there. Peter said, if you be you, said, bid me to come on the water. Praise God. And he stepped out of the boat, and he went out. He went out into the water. My friend, I'm getting ahead of myself. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me just back up here. 26. And he said unto him, why art ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus rebuked the winds. He rebuked the sea, and there was a great calm. My friend, today, they can be a great wind, a storm rising up into our lives. My friend, all we got to do is just call upon the Lord, just like these men did. They called upon him. They woke him up. My friend, but tonight, I'm here to tell you that Jesus, he's not asleep tonight. He's on the throne. He's listening for you. He's an intercession for you and I tonight. He's the only man between me and you and me and God. My friend, tonight, All you've got to do is call upon him. He's able. He's willing to answer you. He's sitting there at the right hand side of the Father tonight and making intercession for you. My friend, all you got to do is to call upon the Lord and tell him about the storm that's arising up. My friend, he can speak to that storm and it will calm down. I tell you what, let's look into 27. But the man marveled, saying, "What matter of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You know, praise God, hallelujah. What matter of a man is this, even the winds and the sea obey him? He's the man that has all power. He's the one that's got all authority. He's the one, hallelujah, that can speak to anything that's going on that's in our life by faith tonight, and he can put it in place. He can calm the sea down for us. He can take care of everything. Hallelujah. Let's look into James 2 and 14 through 20 here. What doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? You know, tonight there's a question. Can faith alone, in other words, can faith alone save a man? But let's look on down through here just a little bit. If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily, of food, you know, let me read that over again. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things are which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Yet a man, may say, thou have faith, and I have works. Show me thy works with thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith with my works, by my works. Praise the Lord. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believed and trembled. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? You know, praise God, it takes faith and it takes works together. My friend, tonight, it takes both of them combined together for us to do anything and to make any go at anything. And, you know, it's time that we, praise God, do what God would have us to do. And it's time that we have the faith that we need. And the Word says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to get filled up with this Word. That we need to just speak this Word and believe what we speak, God will do it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I tell you, I praise God for this. And I think, Sister Green, if it's okay, I'll let Sister Betty read some here and let her obey the Lord a little bit.
Amen.
Praise God. Well,
this is on great faith. Luke 7, verse 6 and 7. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Matthew 14, verses 28 and 29. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Matthew 9:20-22. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Mark 2, 1 through 12. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether is it easier to say of the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Now, you've heard the word of God there tonight, so, and heard a message, so just think about it tonight, my friend. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, you need to call up on Him, and by faith tonight, you can be saved. That's all it takes is just having a faith that whenever you ask God to forgive you of your sins, He's going to forgive you. So I appreciate the opportunity to come on tonight and be with you there, Brother and Sister Green. So I'll just turn it back to you now. So God bless you.
Praise God. We sure appreciate you all, Brother Yearwood and Sister Yearwood. And thank you for that good word that you preach. And thank you all for showing us Blog Talk Radio and a way to reach folks. And that's what this is all about. And, you know, the Lord said in Matthew 24 that we would preach, the word, the gospel will be preached unto all the world. And that He said that there will be wars and rumors of wars, but the end is not yet. But then He said, when they come against you for my name's sake, and He said, then be the beginning of the end. And, you know, we talked last week about the angel in Revelations having the everlasting gospel to preach, and He gives to the ministers, the angels of the churches do, and that's what we're to preach, to fear God, and that He's coming back, and you know, we are the forerunner of, just like John the Baptist was, to get ready, bring fruits of repentance, be ready, and that's what we're doing again. We're saying be ready, the Messiah is coming, but this time He's not coming as a lamb to be laid to a slaughter, but He is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He is going to come and reign, praise God, for 1,000 years, and we're going to be with Him. And, you know, I was thinking the other day that this here earth and the humans that are alive today, and we're here in our flesh and bones and in our body, in our physical body, mortal body, how we are under the floor of heaven. And we are in that space, and we are on the roof of hell. So we are in between here, and this is our time to get ready. And life is but a vapor. If we make it 70 years, if we make it past then we're truly blessed. If we make it to 70, we're blessed. But that's just a vapor to compared to eternity, whether we are going to go above the floor or whether we are going to go under the roof. And I want to be above the floor, praise God, into heaven, and go with Him and be there for eternity with Him. And I praise God, and I can just imagine above the floor, we just look up, and there's the floor of heaven, and how one day that's going to roll back like a scroll. And someday Amen. We're going to see Jesus coming back, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And there's no more playing games then. It's the real deal. This is the real thing. Right now we've got our own will. You know, Jesus told Thomas, He says, you believe because you have seen. He says, blessed are them that believe, but they've not seen. So we today, we believe, but we've not seen Him. You know, the Bible talks about faith being, in Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So we've not seen Him, but we believe, and that's faith. And we must have faith all the way. We must endure to the end. The same shall be saved. Praise God. So we believe and we hold on to the promises of God. And all His promises in the book are yea and amen. Praise the Lord. And you know, we're to live a good, clean life before Him because we believe. We should fear Him. To fear God is the beginning of wisdom. God is so good. He's so merciful. And He's real tonight. I'm telling you, He is real tonight. And people are playing games, Brother Yearwood. They're in, they're out, they're in, they're out. And you know, He's merciful to take us back. But it takes a made-up mind, a true, pure heart, and clean hands to be with the Lord. And, you know, He'll let us go in and out. He'll let us go down that broad road. And I heard a preacher say the other day, he said, if you want to walk that broad road, go ahead. But he said the way to heaven is holiness, for no man should see God, for He is holy. And that road is narrow and it's straight. And it's just plain and simple. And the devil, he is a roaring lion, roaming through to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. In John 10:10, it says that he's a thief, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's doing his time, he's doing his work, because he knows his time is short. And I praise God, I love him. I feel an authority in me tonight that people need to get right about God's business and stop playing. Stop playing
Amen.
And dabbling in the world. Stop playing, they call it, stop playing, stop tap dancing or whatever with the devil. Leave him alone and get with, about God's business and get for real. A lot of people, Brother Yearwood, that are very blessed that live in America. They say that Americans, the poorest American, still has food to eat somewhere. And that the people in third world countries, they're being persecuted for trying to live a Christian life. And they can't even hardly openly tell it that they're a Christian without being persecuted or their head being to the chopping stake or being put on some kind of a burning stake or whatever it might be. They can't even talk about being a Christian. And here we can get on our telephone and not even leave our house and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. We've got it made here in America. You know, it's not over until it's over. Like Clinton says, he always says that it ain't over until God says it's over. We've got Sister Florence Sinners over laying on her deathbed. And, you know, unless God gives her a miraculous healing, she'll be soon in glory. She'll be above the floor of heaven. She'll be on the other side. Right now she's under the floor. She's on this earth. But she'll be up on the floor, praise God, of heaven. And you know, she'll be worshiping with Jesus. And if she is to pass away, she has preached her own funeral. And that's what Clinton said about my stepdad when he passed back in July. And Clinton did the funeral August the 2nd. He said that Walter Atkins preached his own funeral by the testimony, by the life that he lived. And you know, we were reading today, Rachel and I, we were reading about Isaac and Rebekah and how Esau had given up his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of soup or porridge, whatever it was, and how when it came down to the blessings, when Isaac was laying there and his eyes were dim, the Bible says, and Rebekah had heard Isaac say to Esau, "Go and get me the venison and prepare it for me to eat so that I can bless you." And then when Esau went out into the woods to look for the venison, Rebekah had heard Isaac talk to his son, and she talked to the younger son, which was Jacob. Jacob meaning deceiver. And how that's what his name meant, and how she wanted the birthright to go to her son Jacob. So Jacob, he didn't want to do it at first. He said it would be, it wouldn't be right. I believe it was in my own paraphrasing. But Rebekah talked to him and she said, "Do as I tell you to do," meaning I'm your mom. Do what I'm telling you to do. So he went and he got the goats. Rebekah prepared the goats. And she put the skin on to make it like Esau's skin, like hair, hairy skin, and put it on his neck so that when Isaac was to question, if he were to question, then he would know that it was true, that it would be Esau, that they were lying to him. And that's how the devil is today. The devil's lying out there. He's trying to lie to you and make you paint this pretty picture for you that the world is so much more fun, but you know, sin is only pleasure for a season, and then it's over and the friends are gone. When you run out of money and stuff, they're not there for you. But I tell you, a true friend sticketh closer than a brother is Jesus Christ, and him only. Praise God, he will go through with you all the way to the end of the world. That means all the way to the very end. He's there with Sister Florence all the way till she takes her last breath, unless he heals her here on this earth. She will take her last breath someday, and he will go with her till when she crosses over Jordan, and Jordan meaning death. And when she crosses over, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Praise God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Praise God. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. Psalms 23, you can read that. It will encourage your soul, and you will know that God is truly with you. He leads you into green pastures. Praise the Lord. He is my fortress, my tower, my high tower. Praise the Lord. And at this time here, we're going to, I have some more to read here, but I feel like giving it back to Brother Green. Let him say some more. We have 30 more minutes. Brother Yearwood and you and Sister Betty, if y'all want to get prepared to say some more, I'm looking for that caller tonight. I've been talking to him, and I'm praying that he will call in. And if he does, we want to lead him to the Lord. But he has to make up his mind. We known him when he was a young man, teenager, and he knows the way. He knows the way. And he just has to make up his mind that that's what he wants to do is serve God. So here's Brother Green.
Praise the Lord. I was talking tonight, you know, about faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17, how that the Apostle Paul, his heart's desire and prayer for Israel was that they might be saved. And I was talking about how that he was an Israelite, and the Apostle Paul wasn't always an apostle. He was a persecutor to start with, and he was a religious man, very religious. And, he would persecute the Christians wherever he could find them. And he was there when they stoned Stephen there in the book of Acts, and I believe it was chapter 7, chapter 6, somewhere right in there. Paul was standing there and saw them stone that man. When that man looked up to heaven, and he said, "I see Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father." And I'm just paraphrasing that. You can look it up for yourself. But, you know, he looked beyond what man can see, because he had lived a life of faith. And when it come down for him to pass off the scene, and they were a stone in him, and he cried out with a loud voice, and he said, "Lay not this sin to their charge," you know. Praise God. I tell you, here was a man that had love in his heart for his fellow man, and he loved his enemies, and he loved them that persecuted him and spoke against him. And the Bible said that he began to preach to them before they stoned him, and said that his faith shone as the face of an angel. You know, they should have took notice when they seen this man glowing like a light bulb. Praise God. They should have thought there's something different about this man. And why does he do miracles and we can't do any? But you see, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I think it was in the book of Galatians where that, you know, Paul was a preacher, and after that he had gotten converted on the road to Damascus, and he had saw a great light, and he had fallen to the ground and was blinded by that light, and they led him by the hand into the city of Damascus, and he was 3 days without food, and he prayed. He began to pray. You know, it's time people begin to pray, and it's time that they get down to business with God. And I was thinking, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to get our ears tuned in, and we need to listen to what the preachers are saying. You know, a lot of people tonight have fallen out because they got discouraged, and a lot of times they get aggravated with what the preacher says. And, you know, the preacher might believe it just a little bit different than what you do. But he's doing the best he can to preach the gospel. And he's taking up the cross, and he's following Christ. And he might not say everything the way you would say it. But don't fall out with the preacher. Don't fall out with the evangelist. Pray for them. If they're in fault, pray for them. Try to lift them up and ask the Lord to open their eyes and show them. If they're in sin, doing something wrong, or if they're preaching things that's contrary to the Word of God, and that is out of line with the gospel. But I tell you, we need to take a good look at this book, and we need to look deep into it. And we need to say, Lord, I'm going to do what you'd have me to do, and I'm going to be obedient. You know, Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly calling. See, the Father up above put a call on the Apostle Paul's life, and he was changed there that day when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. You know, you can persecute the church, and that's what Paul was doing. His name was Saul, but it was changed to Paul later. But his name was Saul, and he was persecuting the church. You know, you can persecute the church. You can persecute the church whether you're a preacher or evangelist or whether you're sitting in the pew. You can persecute one another, and you can bite and devour one another. But I tell you, we need to preach the gospel and preach it just like it is and preach it and rightly divide it. And let's be gentle in the gospel. Let's not be hard. Let's not be, Lord, you know, the Lord spoke about some people there in John, 3 John, and one man wanted to have the preeminence, and he wanted to rule the roost, so to speak, and he was casting people out of the church, and the Bible tells us not to do these kind of things, not to cast people out, and he was forbidden them to come and to preach the gospel. Praise God. And it's over there in John, the 3 John, I believe it is. And it just came to my mind, but I want you to know, have mercy. The Bible said if we have mercy, we'll receive mercy if we're merciful. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I tell you tonight, we can be hard and we can be cruel, but I tell you, we need to be gentle and we need to be kind and we need to be forgiving. Jesus said, if they slap you on one side, turn on one cheek, turn the other. You know, people can talk to you rough and talk to you mean, but what will you respond? Will you be kind and will you be trying to solve the problem, or are you going to sharpen your tongue and make it worse? But I tell you, we need to repent tonight. I tell you, we need to repent from the pulpit back to the last pew. We need to repent. The whole church needs to turn back to God. I'm telling you tonight, there's very few people walking in line with the Word of God. We just scratched the surface, I believe, in this. Now, I've been in this since 1975. I got saved in 1975, and I tell you, I've been reading the Bible and reading it many times. I've looked in the book, and many hours I've spent reading the Bible and studying the Bible and studying other books about the Bible and things pertaining to the Bible. And I'll tell you, there's a lot that I need to know, and I'll tell you, there's a lot that a lot of other people need to know, and we have not arrived. I tell you, we haven't arrived yet. We're still learning. We're still eating the Word of God and still studying to show ourselves approved unto God. And I tell you, we need more faith, a little more faith in Jesus. You know, I was thinking, some people we know, they sang that song, a little more faith in Jesus. All we need is a little more faith in Jesus. I'll tell you tonight, you can't get too much faith. I'll tell you, there's always an enemy trying to chisel away at your faith, and he's trying to make you not to believe, and he's trying to throw doubt on you, and he's trying to oppress you. But I'll tell you, we need to build up our ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and keep ourselves in the love of God. We can't fight one another and say that we're doing all right. We've got to be able to teach and to preach with the Holy Ghost sit down from heaven. We've got to be a pure in heart, for he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I'll tell you tonight, we need to get back into the pages of this old book, and we need to study to see where we stand with God, and we need to examine ourselves. And I'll tell you tonight, faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you've failed and slipped and slid And if you've gone back on God, I want you to know tonight there is a provision made in Christ. And he said, come unto me, all ye laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'll tell you, we need to learn about Jesus tonight. I'll tell you, he forgives sin. He forgives it. And he cleanses people from sin. And you can be cleansed tonight. You can have your slate clean. You can kneel and make yourself an altar and call upon the name of the Lord. And I'll tell you, he'll hear your cry. He hears when we pray. When the sinner man prayed in the temple, he heard his prayer. And the man stood up and said, I thank God I'm not like this other man. I pay my tithes and I do all these good works. I fast twice a week and I'm a good man. And I'm righteous, but I want to tell you something. We ain't righteous unless we got Jesus' righteousness in our life. And I'll tell you, the only way you can get it tonight is get down on your knees and get your heart right with God and call upon him in the accepted time. And, you know, the Bible said today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. And we're to go and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord and the vengeance of our God and preach with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven such things that the angels desire to look into. I'll tell you, we're supposed to preach it line upon line and precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little that they might be broken and taken and they might come back to God if they went astray. You know, Israel went away from God, but I'll tell you, if they would repent, they could have the Savior, but they rejected him, and they cast him out, and they put him on that cross and crucified him. And they said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. And I tell you, they've had a bad time ever since, because I want to plead the blood on me, and I want it upon my house and upon the doorposts of my building. Praise the Lord. I want them. My house to be covered by the blood. And the only way you can get the blood applied is get down on your knees somewhere and make you an altar somewhere and call upon the name of the Lord and seek him while that he may be found. I'm going to turn it back here to Joanna just here for a minute. Praise God. And I got some things to read, but I'm just going to take a little break right here right now.
Praise the Lord. We have Sister Kim Turner. She says, remember her situation. They need the Lord to move for her family. She's believing in a miracle. They need this by Monday. And she knows that God can answer even on Friday night, tonight. God can make things happen in a moment, she says. She says that God is her lawyer. He's her doctor. He's her father. Anything she needs, God can give us favor when man doesn't want to. So, you know, with that being said, it reminds me for us to lay up our treasures in heaven, to where down here under the floor of heaven, the moth and the rust and the thief can come in and steal our treasures. But if we lay our treasures up in heaven, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. If when we've got it good and we're on the mountaintop and we can worship God and serve God and we don't fall by the ways of sin and get out in the world when things are going good, and then when things go bad, then we begin to call upon God. But if we can praise him in the good times just as well as praising him in the bad times, and things are going good for us, and we pray and we put in time and fasting and prayer and reading or studying our word, meditating day and night on the Word of God, laying up your treasures up in heaven, and turning off the TV when there's bad words, and don't listen to dirty jokes being told at work. Don't participate in unholy conversations, uncleanliness. Don't shun the very appearance of evil. You know, this is a terrible thing coming up in America. Shame on America, and shame on the Christians. And I'll say it, shame on us if we participate in anything on October 31st to do with the devil, and don't even acknowledge that day. But because we want our treasures to be laid up in heaven. We don't want our good works all year long to be burned up on October 31st. We live good all year long, and then all of a sudden, October 31st, We have harvest parties and all that. That's, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about flat out honoring and going out and doing and participating in the things of the world. And people have, you know, people say, well, that's your conviction, Sister Green. But you know what? I don't give place to the devil at all. And any churches doing haunted houses in their basements, we know the one that done that. And the man that wanted to put on the haunted house, I believe they had it all right. And I believe in just a few weeks later that they found him, he had hung himself by his shoestrings down in the closet in the basement. And they tried to tell family members of mine, tried to warn the pastor, don't do it. Don't do the haunted house. And they did it anyway. And they found that man, a suicide had ended his life down in that basement. Spirits get a hold. When you open the door to the devil, he will come in. And you, I just said it here on Facebook a while ago, that don't even open the door. The devil comes a-knocking. Someone was telling me that, someone was saying that the devil, I wish I can say it the way the person said it. Praise the Lord. Well, here we are. And they put it out on Facebook, so that I'm pretty sure they don't care that I read it. This is what they said, just a thought. The world is Satan's funhouse, designed to draw us in. It's all an illusion. Behind the smoke and mirrors is hell and torment. God is allowing us to choose. If you choose the world, you are not worthy for the rewards of God as in store for his children. Well, and I wanted to reply back, and I did reply back, and I want, and she knows that I talked to her, and I thanked her for her comment. I have heaven on earth, and this is what I said. I have heaven on earth since I gave my life to him. The devil tries to knock at my door, but I never answer. If you keep that door shut when the devil comes a-knocking, and you know the devil's job is to tempt you. That's what his business is all about, is try to tempt you into falling from grace. And it's not a sin to be tempted. What the temptation is, when you are tempted and you fall into the temptation and you ponder on that and you meditate on that, I guess you can say, then you're sinning. But if you put it to flight, as soon as the temptation comes, you put it to flight. A bad joke, someone tells a bad joke, and you want to laugh, you think it's funny, remember, God heard it too. And God's watching you, how you respond. Don't laugh. Walk away or say, we don't talk like that at my house. I don't want to hear it. Or don't say nothing at all. And let them go ahead to because it says not to cast your pearls before the swan or they'll turn and rent you. Sometimes you just have to walk away from a situation or just keep your mouth quiet because you don't want to get in a confrontation with nobody. We don't want to fight with nobody. We want to win them over to the Lord. So whenever you're caught in a situation that you cannot control, best thing to do, the Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. But you don't have to participate in it. So when the devil comes knocking at your door, if it's through the airways of your television, just get up, walk right over there and turn it off or turn the station. Don't give place to it. Don't sit there and listen to it because maybe you don't feel like getting up. Go ahead and turn that thing off or turn that station. So don't give place to it. So keep the door shut on the devil and he can't get in. So I hope that helps somebody tonight. I praise the Lord. It's pretty simple. It's pretty easy. It's just a made-up mind to serve God. We're talking about faith tonight. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by in he being dead yet speaketh. So God saw the sacrifice that Abel, praise the Lord, had offered up. And it was a clean sacrifice. I believed Abel was God received his sacrifice.
Does God receive your sacrifice tonight? Is it clean and holy and acceptable unto God? He told us to offer our body as a living sacrifice, which is to be clean and holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Praise the Lord. So, or does it stink in the nostrils of God? Are you claiming to be godly and that God, that you're a Christian and that you're saved and you're out doing every abomination out there could be, stuff that stinks in the nostrils of the Lord? You're going to have gate trouble if you are. If you're out there and you're a homosexual, and if I get cut off the air, then so be it. But if you're out there and you're out there and you are doing perverted things, you will not make it to heaven, and that's plain in the Bible. And they're changing the Bible. They're plucking out the face of Jesus. They're plucking his beard again. And you know what? God's not going to stand for that. Judgment is coming, my friends. Judgment is definitely coming. And Jesus called Judas Iscariot, the one that betrayed him. He called him friend. And the reason he'd done that, because he knew that the will of the Father, what Jesus came to do in the first place, was to lay his life down on the cross. And he told Peter, when Peter said he didn't want Jesus to go to the cross, Peter loved Jesus and didn't want him to go there. We love our friends. We don't want to see him hurting. And so Peter tried to stop Jesus and his words and what he said. And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter didn't have no, he didn't understand. He was going by the flesh. He was going by the carnal things. But Jesus was looking at the spiritual, what he came to do, the will of his Father. So we must, if we have to go through persecution, if whatever we have to go through, Jesus said, when they hate you, this world will hate you. And remember, they hated me first. So when they speak well of you, whoa, watch out. Be careful when they speak well of you. These big mega churches, we could pack out Brother Yearwood, Sister Yearwood. We can pack us out a big, big, huge church if we wanted to. If we wanted every kind of let anything goes and just love, amen, love, love everybody. God is a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath. And he also said that judgment starts first in the house of God. He says, where do the sinner and ungodly appear? So we're going to be judged as well. What kind of fruits that we bear? You know, it talks about being without charity, and we do all these good works, but without charity, we're going to have gate trouble. They'll say, "Lord, Lord, haven't we done these things in your name? We've prophesied in your name. We've cast out devils in your name." He's going to say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you." So a lot of these big churches and stuff, they look like they're blessed. They look like, you know, the world will give, the sinner man will give tithes to a church. And I don't care how much you pay your tithes. I don't care how much you treat the Christians good. If you've not repented of your sins and give your heart to Jesus, it's not going to do you a bit of good. So you've got to repent, and to get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The disciples, he told them not to rejoice because you can cast out devils, but rejoice because your names are written therein in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to turn it back over to Brother Green.
Okay, it's good to be back with you. I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. It says here, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. We have the same faith that was once delivered to the saints." Praise God that Jesus preached. They gave it to the disciples, and the disciples preached, and the church has been preaching this for 2,000 years, ever since Christ went back to the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ has been confirming the word with signs following. If we can get this gospel preached just right, we can get results. If we can preach with the Holy Ghost and we can preach it in a manner that people can get a hold of it, we can get souls saved. But if we just preach it and it's just words, then we're not going to reach anybody for Christ. But I want to reach them I want to preach, and I want to preach with the Spirit of God, and I want to preach what the Lord gives me to preach. So here in 2 Corinthians 4:13, we having the same spirit of faith. The Bible tells us here that faith is a spirit. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Paul was saying, not only is he going to raise us up, but he's, as he did the Lord Jesus Christ, he's also going to raise us up, and he's going to raise you up if you're a believer. If you die and you go to the grave, you're going to be raised on that great getting up morning when the trump of God sounds. You'll be coming out of that grave, and you'll have a new body, and your spirit will be reunited with your body, and we'll meet the Lord in the air. And the scripture says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. In verse 15 here it says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. And let's see here. for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You know, we've got an outward man, but we've also got an inward man. You know, the outward man, he understands things that goes on in this world. He understands that if I touch the stove and it's red hot, he understands that it's going to hurt. You know, if I pinch myself or somebody pinches me, they're pinching the outward man. But there's also an inward man, and this inward man is the spirit that's on the inside of us. And, you know, the spirit is where the Lord comes in, and he habitates in our life. He comes in and makes his abode with us when we're born again. He sends forth his spirit into our hearts, and we have the spirit of Christ at that time. That means we're born again. And we're sons and daughters of God at that time. And we're, at that time, we're a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he can, if we get down to business and we'll do everything he wants us to do, and we can touch him by faith, and our faith is where it needs to be, we can receive the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues as they did there in the book of Acts in chapter 2. And I also want to go a little further here, and it says here, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Well, I'll turn it back to Joanna.
Praise God. Another prayer request, Moses Romero, I believe it's his wife's grandfather passed away. Tomorrow's their funeral. He wants us to pray, and I took it back over. I didn't mean to cut him so quick, but he took a coffin spell there, so pray for Clint. We want to pray over these requests. Gladys Dittmer also, she has unspoken requests. Just pray for those. And Brother Yearwood, Sister Yearwood, yeah, do you have prayer requests?
Yeah. We got Edith Hampton that is battling cancer, Kay Hurd, Keith Green, Fred Branham, and a lady by the name of Patricia. All of them have cancer. We need to remember them in prayer. And a lady by the name of Jessie, she needs strength. And Bob and Clara Hicks, Clara's getting weaker every day, so we need to remember Brother Bob and the family. And we've got a friend, Lee Carmley, just passed away, and remember that family, and remember my cousin, Jackie Gray, that just remember his family. He just died the other day, so I guess that's all that we have.
Praise the Lord. They say we're off the air, but I believe they give us a few more seconds. Let's pray now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, we ask that you, Lord, that you move on these prayer requests. Lord, we ask that you touch all the ones that have the cancer, Lord, diabetes. Lord, touch your Lord God, from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet, Lord, most of all them that are not saved, dear God, reach down and save them that are lost. Lord, we call out Johnny Grigsby's name that is battling whether he should be saved or not. Lord, help him to make up his mind, dear God. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. All the prayer requests that Sister Yearwood just mentioned, Lord, all them that are on Facebook, all the ones from all the year, Lord, that we've been on Blog Talk Radio, and Lord, since 08, since Brother Yearwood and Sister Yearwood have been on Blog Talk Radio, Lord, answer prayers, God, and we thank you, God. We give you the glory for doing it, Lord. Until next Friday, we'll see you at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Brother Yearwood is on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Also on blogtalkradio.com/reaching the world for Christ. God bless you all.
God bless you.